Your ministry is a word in season, and no pun intended. When we examine the season that we are living in, it's not very, very, very common to hear a strong emphasis on the Word of God, and unfortunately, not even from a lot of our churches now. And to see such a powerful concentration on the Word, and being a pastor and a theologian, I was catching all those connections of those words and promotion. Man, this is a blessing. Now, tell us, how did you, what inspired you to begin on Every Word Ministries?
Well, thank you. It was probably about 20 years ago, and maybe I was only about 2 or 3 years old in the Lord, and started working in the youth ministry in the high school area at First Baptist Church in Houston when Dr. John Bassanio was there as the pastor. And we had a lock-in. You know what a lock-in is?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, see, I didn't know what that was, but I found out, you know. So we had a couple of hundred high school youth and youth workers that, you know, came to a gym, and they locked us in all night. We had our pizza and games and all that. But you know what? Our youth pastor at that time, Johnny Derwin, asked everybody to do something that was highly unusual. He started talking about the times of Nazi Germany and the burnings of books, and especially of the Bible. And he started to take us to a time that perhaps where Christians began to be persecuted in our day. And he declared that now the Word of God was illegal to own or possess, to have any copy of in any written form. And he asked us to bring all our Bibles up front. So we piled them all up front, and he symbolically burned them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then he said, you know what? Now that all the Word of God has been systematically rooted out across the globe, it's been years and years that they had to try and do this, but finally it's all gone. There's no more written form. He said, now we're going to take time, and we're going to see how much of the Word of God we can recreate from memory.
Mm.
Well, you know what that did was, I was 2 or 3 years old in the Lord. I didn't know a single verse, you know, by heart. And he let that room get awfully uncomfortable.
I can imagine.
You know, because there were some periods of 5-10 minutes that went by at times where he just let silence, because he wanted people to be uncomfortable with the fact that we need to be hiding the Word of God in our heart. So at the end of 30, 40 minutes, we maybe have come up with maybe 25, 30 scriptures total out of a room of 200 people. And that really impressed upon my heart that I needed to be hiding God's Word.
Wow. Listen, that is amazing. That almost gave me an idea. I think I need to do that with my entire congregation. See how much word we remember. Wow. And so from this experience, it was so compelling and convicting to you that it led you to want to personally hide the Word of God in your heart, that you may not sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
And then also help and assist others in hiding the Word of God in their hearts. So now tell me, what was your technique, and what technique did you come up with to help those that may not know the Word of God in their heart hide the Word of God in their hearts?
Well, you know, when I first started off, I just really had a lot of trouble remembering the verses. And then I gave up on it. I just said, I'm not going to do it anymore. It's just, I can't seem to remember them. And I guess about 6 months or a year passed after that lock-in, and we were at another church event, and we heard, came to hear a singing group perform named A Cappella back in the mid-80s. You remember that group? And after that, a gentleman came out dressed in a, kind of looking like an apostle or a disciple. He had a real beard, had hair was a little bit long. He came out unannounced, and what he did is he began in Genesis, and he quoted one verse from every book of the Bible, and took us all the way to the Revelation. So he quoted 66 verses, and he traced redemption through the blood of Christ from Genesis to Revelation, and that's what kind of gave me the idea of, for me, what really is meaningful to me is that I memorize verses according to themes or topics. I'm a teacher by heart. I love to teach the Word of God. And yet, I get so thrilled when I think about what the Word of God has to say about itself. So what I did is I started thinking, if I could teach a message and not use any of my own words, what would I say? if I had 30 minutes to talk about Christ, if I had 30 minutes, if I had 3 minutes like that to talk about what does the Word of God say about itself and how we're to react to it. And so it helped me when I started packaging things in little themes together. And then after that, it's just it's a heart set, it's a mindset of just loving that Word, of praying with expectancy over that Word and saying, God, I'm going to start hiding this Word. Use it in my life. Help it to do, like you said in the introduction, to abide, to continue in that Word. And then it's a discipline that I hope grows into a love, because you get excited about how powerful God's Word can be used in and through you and in your life.
Now, Brother Tim, you were saying that you use themes to help the learner connect with scriptures. Can you give us an example of how you do that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, can I just say briefly, I'm not that interesting a guy. You know what I mean? But this ministry is. And what's so fascinating is when I get to go speak at a church or a conference, I'm usually not the keynote speaker. And I like that. I like being just the worship guy after lunch or wherever they put me in, because as a pastor, there is a supreme commanded importance of preaching and teaching God's Word. But I think what's missing, which you alluded to earlier in our day and age, is just the power of God's Word in and of and by itself. And so when I show up and I get to deliver that Word of God to them, and then sit down, and all they've heard is just the Word, okay, mm-hmm. and a theme, mm-hmm. and a teaching that they get, they connect with. It brings them fully into staring into the person of God and the presence of God. Then I sit down. Then I like that because it kind of shocks them sometimes. It kind of wakes them up. And to no credit to myself, I'll have people that say, come up to me afterwards and say, you know, son, I've been in church 50 years, and I never heard anything quite that powerful. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes,
and that's right. Not to discount the preaching. Don't think I'm saying that.
Right.
You know, I love the good preaching of God's Word. But I just like to be sitting down and walking away, and then they don't walk about. They don't say, whoa, wasn't Tim great? That guy is fantastic. Because I didn't say anything. I didn't tell any cool stories. I didn't expound on any Greek or Hebrew words. All I did is deliver the Word of God and impress them with that, so that I hope they leave going,
right.
The Word of God is awesome, and I need to be living it. I need to be learning it and hiding it in my heart and walking it out, living it out.
So you take the whole position of letting Scripture get in agreement with Scripture.
Absolutely.
And support itself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like it's like every word that comes out of my mouth, you know.
Exactly.
Now, you were giving, we were talking a little earlier, and you gave a powerful example that I believe would be a blessing to really give greater clarity of how you really make your connections in a very practical way. You were talking about Christ in the wilderness. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, one of the presentations I do is really a portrait of Christ from Scripture. You know, no one ever painted a portrait of Jesus. But I believe that if you dip your brush into those brilliant colors of Scripture, that you can get a very accurate picture of Christ. And so in that portrait, as I move through it, you know, I'll quote, you know, things that are in chronology in his life. And so I may be saying, you know, after Jesus was baptized, and you hear, and this was my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. Well, then what happened? Well, it says that, and then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, I could at that point, you know, maybe go into how Jesus used four verses from the book of Deuteronomy, which I'm not sure I could do, you know, to defeat the devil, all right? Okay? But, you know, I only got 30 minutes, okay?
Right.
So I don't go into that part. Instead, I say, you know, and after Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, I go to Hebrews, see? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin. Because, see, I want people to make that connection.
And so they're making a connection, one with how Scripture supports Scripture, but then also they're making the connection between their personal temptations and Christ. And Christ has undergone some of the same kinds of experiences that you and I have gone through, but yet and still he was able to escape that situation. I mean, that's a very brilliant concept. Now, Brother Tim, tell us a little bit about your travels with this ministry. The places you go, the kinds of workshops and seminars that you're doing, because from my understanding, this ministry is expanding, and pretty soon we're going to have some supplemental materials to support it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, obviously, this has been a passion of my life for 20 years. You know, I believe all of life can be summed up in three phrases: that we should know Him, that we should know Him better, and that we should make Him known. And that's kind of one of the themes of our ministry. And so I'm in the business of sometimes I'm just introducing people to Christ. Like, for instance, I was on a college campus the other day that's a supposedly a Christian college. We had chapel. And I asked the person who leads the chapel, I said, you know, tell me, how many of you think of these, the men and women that are here know the Lord and are walking with Him? And she said, maybe 40%. You know, in one way that made me sad as a Christian school. The other way it fired me up, because I was doing my creation, my presentation on, when you look at creation, what does that reveal about the attributes of God? Mm-hmm. And so in that setting, I'm getting to not only challenge certain believers to a deeper walk of faith, but I'm also maybe making an introduction to some people that don't know the Lord, and saying, you know what, next time you walk out and you take a peek at creation, maybe you ought to consider the fact that there is a Creator. And that Creator has spoken a word. That word is written down. And when you use that word as a lens to view creation with, that it's saying a lot of things to you. So I'm on college campuses. I'm going to Dallas Theological Seminary in March. I'm in churches. I was just up with Antioch Missionary Training School up in Waco that trains missionaries and church planners. They send out all over the world, and getting to spend some time not only doing a presentation like this, but also spending the time doing workshop, really talking to them about the value of, the power of, and how to hide God's Word in your heart.
Wow, wow. Now, I was eavesdropping a little bit here. I heard you talking about doing some global travels. Now, was the global travels, does that have anything to do with your ministry on Every Word Ministries? Do you do anything globally with that ministry?
You know, thankfully we got to show a little clip of this ministry, but you can tell, like, if I sent you a brochure in the mail on this, and pastors and conference leaders get, you know, hundreds of brochures, and on this particular ministry, it's kind of unique. And it's hard to really describe it to people. And so the ministry spreads, as God opens doors. It's really eyewitnesses as they spread the word, and they tell others about it. And I've had opportunity to do this now in Central America, but nowhere else. And I'm hoping now to do it maybe later in the year as an opportunity opens up later somewhere else.
Well, good. You know, I was thinking about what you said, and when you're interviewing, you have so many thoughts, and you're trying to accomplish so many purposes, but you said that a relationship with God is about knowing God, mm-hmm. knowing Him better,
yes.
and then making Him known.
Yes.
And as simplistic as that may sound, that sums up the life of the Christian,
Absolutely.
The call of the Christian.
Absolutely.
And so tell me, how does your ministry help to accomplish those three things?
Well, on the knowing Him, which is the most critical part, mm-hmm. obviously, then these are unique, fresh ways in a generation that is very much attracted to visual things and visual presentations to kind of sneak the Word of God in on them. They're watching something, they're enjoying some pretty cool scenes from all over creation or something like you just saw. And then meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is applying the Word to their heart. So we're hoping to introduce God and His Word in that way. Knowing Him better. Jesus memorized Scripture the same way you and I did. What better way to get to know God than through His Word? And then making Him known. We're doing that, you know, all over the places. God gives us opportunity with these presentations. You know, I know time is running just a little bit short. Can I just issue a challenge to everybody, including yourself, as we wrapping up today?
Yes, and also we want to let people know with this powerful ministry that they can get some information about your ministry and contacting your ministry from the screen. But now I'm interested in hearing this challenge.
Well, the same Spirit dwells in each of us. And when you made the introduction today and you talked about that abiding in the Word, and that if you know the truth will make you free, will set you free, that goes right to the heart of my challenge. Because here's what I'd like to say today. Anybody that's watching today, I'd like you to take me up on this. Before the sun sets today, please, and you'll know the area that I'm talking about before I even finish speaking, there is an area in each one of your lives that you're struggling with. And in some ways, you may be even losing the battle. That area could be an area just like that you're tired and you need to gain new strength. Maybe you're feeling a little down and you need some new hope. It could be an area of sin that the enemy's got a stronghold in your life, where maybe you're coveting or lusting, you're doubting God, you're worrying. I don't know what it is, but you know right now, before I've even finished the sentence. Here's what I want you to do. Before the sun goes down today, I want you to find a scripture that speaks to that area. I'm not asking you to find 100. I'm asking you to find one. Find one that speaks to that area and hide it in your heart and see what God will do with that on the other side of that.